And good morning to you.
Good morning.
Nice to have an introduction like that, even if it's not true, amen? And it's good to see you, some familiar faces. It's embarrassing when you get to my age, young people come and say, hi, Brother Anger, and I'm thinking, where did we meet? Is it Parramatta Jail or somewhere? Because I haven't got a clue who you are, amen? You're somebody's kid that knows me. That's basically what it boils down to. And I'm just glad to be with you. I flew in from Burma yesterday. I made 4 aeroplane trips to get here, so my legs are a little bit shaky coming up those stairs there. And if I fall off or speak in tongues, you know why it's happening. Amen? I'm still recovering. So I woke up this morning. There's 2 rooms in my motel room. I walked in the second room and still didn't know where I was. I had to think now, the toilet's somewhere, amen? I don't know why people call it a restroom. Maybe you have to walk a long way to get there, but I couldn't find it. So just glad to be here and spend some time with you. Thank you for the invitation. And it's a wonderful thing to be here in Melbourne. It's been a while since I was here to be at a conference. If you have your Bibles, please go to the book of John. The book of John, and I want to speak to you about conquering the world. That's pretty general, isn't it? Amen? You know something, when people have a theme, if you think long enough, you can always make your message fit. Amen? Doesn't matter what the theme is, you make it fit somehow. So I've got a Webster's Dictionary out and looked up the word conquer first, and then I figured it out. Conquer the world, amen? Well, no, the message isn't called that. But anyway, praise the Lord. Look at chapter 4, if you would, in the book of John. And there are many messages preached on this chapter because it does talk somewhat of the Great Commission. But I want to say to you that in this chapter, you will see some unusual characteristics of the Lord Jesus and some frightening characteristics of the disciples. They were not a perfect bunch of men. You can count on that. Amen? They were not. And the Lord Jesus had a lot of work to do with them. I think that's why he travelled with them. It was called the Baptist Mobile Bible College. Amen? Because he had to constantly have little conversations with 1 or 2 or 3 of them on the side of the road, while the others kept going. It was a constant thing. And the Lord Jesus only had just the 12 guys with him, so he had plenty of time to work with them. And even after all the time that they spent together, when he left them, they went straight back to fishing. It's quite amazing. Quite amazing. So give it a bit of thought when your college students come out of college. Don't panic if they go back to fishing for a moment. Amen? They're not perfect yet. They've just had a lot of learning, but they haven't taken it all in yet and put it all together yet. And so they think they know everything when they come out, but really they know less than what they started with. All right? They're trying to figure it all out, and sometimes they get a big head and it doesn't fit on their small shoulders, amen? So when they come out, give them a chance to put it all together. Conquering the world. I want you to look at chapter 4, verse 34, just to give you a background picture here. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." The Lord Jesus was always very direct when he spoke to people. He didn't mess around. He didn't make long sentences. He said, "My work is this, and this is my time frame." And I wish we had that in our own lives. I wish we had a time frame to get things done. Of course, we don't know when we're going to be leaving. And most of us here will not be leaving in the sense of dying. We'll be leaving while we're still alive. You with me? And so you better get your time frame together. You better start saying, well, in my life, I accomplished this much. And if you had to write down this morning the impact that you've made anywhere in the world in your lifetime, what would it say? What impact have you made? How many bits of paper would you need? Most of us would just need a little piece this big, amen? Nothing. Hello? Stay awake with me now. I'm going to get ugly, amen? That's why I'm called anger. Now, chapter 4. The Lord Jesus said, while you're busy trying to get me something to eat, I want to tell you what I'm supposed to be doing. And this is what I intend to finish. And we should be intending to finish what we're sent to do. I almost said finish what we started, but none of us do, amen? So finish what God intended us to do. And he made it very clear, and they didn't get it, and they asked him this question twice. Has any man given him something to eat? So that's what's on the mind of the disciples in this passage. Not on the mind of Jesus. He said, I have different meat. All right? I have different meat, different hamburgers than what you eat. Now, remember we're talking about a place called Samaria. That's what we're talking about here. The Samaritans needed to be conquered. These were an ugly people. These were people that nobody liked. But Jesus said, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. And that little word must is a little word we ought to use sometimes. I must do this to accomplish that. What must you do? I must. And so the Lord Jesus said, that's where we're going. And then he said some further things, but we're going to just think about this for a moment. He was talking about the harvest. And as we look at verse 35, he said, say not ye. A little kid once asked me, he said, what does that mean, Brother Anger? And I said, in our terminology, don't say that. Don't say that. And your mother and father kept telling you that. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Didn't they? And Jesus said, don't say this. There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Young people, you better wake up. There are more important things than an Apple phone in this life. Amen. Are you with me? Quit playing with toys and grow up and wake up instead of sitting in a tent for 3 nights so you're the first into the store. Wake up. There are things you must do. There are places you must go. There's an impact you have to make. And unfortunately, we're still stuck in cyberspace. That's not where Jesus is going to be picking you up. He's picking you up here, not there. And so we start to grow up now and start to realize that your time is nearly up. 3 months ago, our government here in Australia announced that in 6.5 years from now, there'll be no more cash. What does that tell you? It tells you our time is nearly up. You better get your house in order. You better start looking at these places here where the Bible says there is a harvest
And yet nobody wants to know, because everybody wants to sit around the table at the restaurant and play on their phone instead of sitting at the table looking at a world map. It's time to wake up. It's time to realize that your time as a young person is going to maybe be a quarter of the time that I've had. Hello? No amens. You see, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going there. The disciples thought, well, why do we have to go? Well, it's obvious. There's a harvest waiting there. I get annoyed going to countries, and I've been to 130 now. I go there, I look around, and everybody's been there. The Jehovah's false witnesses have been there. The morons, they've been there. Everybody's been there. And where are the independent Baptists? I'm still running around. Can you give me $50 a month to support so I can go? And they're spending 5 years looking for the money to go. Hello?
Amen.
The revival is usually in a place where you don't want to go. Jonah didn't want to go. And that's the biggest revival in history. And he had to be forced to go. But that's where it was happening. And where 87% of our missionaries are in places where nothing's happening. Nothing. They go there because the fishing's good. They go there because there's golf clubs. They go there because there's a Christian school there. They go there because the hospital's free there. They go there for other good reasons. But they don't go there because there's a harvest. 87% of them. We are wasting millions and billions of money. And what's happening? What do we have to show for it? What do we have to show for it? I've been working my guts out in Burma. There's nobody there. Couple of people there. That's it. 60 million people going to hell. Oh, it's hot there, Brother Anger. Yes, it's hot. It's uncomfortable, Brother Anger. Yes, it's uncomfortable. The trouble with us is we sit at prayer meetings and we're praying for the will of God for somebody else down the end of the road, but never for us. Hello? It's not for us. It's for Mary, who's got that big wart on her nose and can't find a husband. Send her! Come on now. I don't hear many Christians at the prayer meeting saying, Dear God, please God, yes God, let me go. I don't hear that.
God, I'm praying for somebody else, Lord. She's down there, yes, Lord. I'm busy in the bank. I've got a job at the bank. I'm waiting for a promotion.
You won't have time to get promoted. Jesus said, we are going to Samaria. Whether you in the class, you disciples, want to go or not, that's your problem. That's where I'm going. The good thing with Jesus was he didn't have people dropping out all the time, except for Judas. He was a dropout before he started, amen? Amen? But the rest couldn't drop out. That's the good part. So he had a different kind of college than any of us would ever dream of. But he said, I must go. We must go through Samaria. Now, look with me at verse 35 again. It says, Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Lift up your eyes. And look, that little phrase just there is about 100 messages just there. To lift up your eyes means...
Let me see. Let's go over here for a second. Let's imagine this is the back fence of your house. Amen? You're standing there, and like every Christian, you're a great gossiper. Amen? So you're looking over the fence on your tippy toes to see what's going on. Amen? What's going on the other side of the fence? That's what that word look means. It says, get up on your tippy toes so you can see further than you normally could see, and then go. Go. Look with the intention to go. Amen. Don't just look. Look with a desire, a determination to go. Amen. I'm tired of these kids that come on missions trips. They come along, they change their clothes 5 times a day, they hang around, sit around, you've got to find something to do for them, they can't even boil an egg or make a cup of tea, they're useless! Don't send them, we don't want them. Send me a kid who can pick up a shovel and dig a hole 10 foot deep, and then we'll drop him in the sewage tank and see what how he likes it down there, amen? Send me one of those. Don't send me some goober that wants to watch the internet. I'm not interested in that. I haven't got time to raise your children. Not in 10 days. Amen? And I ain't going to do it. I'm sick of doing it. Listen to me. You send me some kids we can use. Keep their telephone at home. Keep their laptop at home. And their iPod and iPad and E-pad and G-pad. Keep it all at home. I want people who are useful.
Man.
Useful, not nerds. Hello, Pastor. Where are you? I can only see a screen close up. You're an idiot. I'm telling it to you like it is. We're wasting thousands of dollars, kids going on trips all over the place, and they come home, oh, I went to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Big deal. And what did you do there? I bought a hanky. There was no impact. There was no hardship. There was none before he went, none on the trip, and none when he came back. There was no change. Samaria changed these disciples. They changed. We have churches nowadays where I can't go back anymore. Let's say if you move from this spot when you're preaching, you can't come to our church. I don't want to come to your church. It's dead. You with me? We need to put some life back into the preaching and get on with it. And tell it like it is. Not how it was, like it is. Our kids are spoiled, rotten. They go to McDonald's and dismantle the hamburger before they start eating. Can't have the pickle, can't have the meat, don't like white buns, don't like this. Well, eat the paper! Then we expect them to be a missionary. That's why they give you in the packets, in case you don't like the burger, amen? Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. The fields are mature, like white hair or no hair, whatever. The field is mature. And the trouble is the colts are blazing in there, stealing everything, and when we arrive, it's spoiled. When we arrive, we have to correct everything. When we arrive, we have to spend 10, 15, 20, 30 years undoing the damage they've done because we were the last to get there.
Now, I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Focus on it. Focus on it. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 119. Look it up. Psalm 119, verse 133. Trouble is, we're praying for everybody else's steps, not ours. Lord, bless him, not me. Bless him. I'll give the money. Bless him. Some of you are just money givers. You've never got your hands dirty to do anything. Time to get your hands dirty, because God's going to ask you about that. He's going to say, let me look under your fingernails.
Oh, but I work in a bank. Wow.
The steps of a good man are not ordered by you. Better ask God to order your steps. Better say to God, I'll not step another step, I'll not move another foot or leg or muscle until you have put that footprint there for me to step on. I'm not moving. We don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. I've taught people for years that if the Bible doesn't tell you what to do, you don't move. And I hear preachers still saying, oh, where did you learn that? Well, where do you think? Where do you think I learned that? It's in the book. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Amen. And I don't move until that lamp shines on the floor. And what do? I'm trying this, Pastor. I'm trying that. And if I don't get that, then I won't do that. And if that doesn't work, I can't do that. And if he doesn't say yes, I can't do it. That's baloney.
That's right.
You're trying everything before you look at the word. Jesus was out there getting the job done. The disciples are still scratching their heads saying, hey, fellas, any of you know why we're here? Any of you got any clue why we're in Samaria? Well, there's a harvest about to be reaped here somewhere, and the Lord Jesus was already busy. He'd already met a lady at the well, and he won her to the Lord. Sometimes, listen, sometimes you can start harvesting before there's a harvest. I remember Brother Randy, our principal of college, Brother Randy, he was just a great man of God. Brother Randy, he went to a soul-winning conference. America's full of soul-winning conferences, amen? Yeah, you go there and you come home and still don't go soul-winning, amen? But it's full of soul-winning conferences. And while teaching in a soul-winning conference, Brother Randy's on his crutches. You know where he is? He's out in the kitchen where they're preparing the food, trying to win the people, the staff in the kitchen, and he won several of them to Christ while they're teaching it outside. Are you with me?
Amen.
You can get started before the harvest. Read the book of Amos. It's in there. Chapter 9. And so the Lord Jesus got busy with this lady. You know, he was hoping she wouldn't say too much, I guess, but she was a lady. She must have been big. It says she was of some area. So she... What, haven't you got a King James? What it says, a lady of some area, that means whatever. Anyway, she was there and she testified. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans, there must have been lots of big ladies there, of that city believed on him, for they're saying of a woman which testified. It was already beginning to happen and the disciples are still in cyberspace somewhere, I don't know where they were, trying to figure out why they were there. Before there's a harvest, there's already movement.
Right? It's like a whirlwind. It's already moving. There's already cows and trucks floating through the air. Amen. It's already happening. But we can't seem to see it very much. Everybody else in the world can see it, but we seem to be the slow ones. Amen.
Hey, I'm just telling you the truth, folks. I see it out there day in, day out. I see it. And I see the young Mormon guys, all nice and tidy on their little bicycles, but they do drink coffee secretly. And they do have special underwear secretly. But listen to me. They've got the guts to go out with a white shirt and a tie and all dressed up to do it. And we've still got the fear in us. Oh, it's so hard, Pastor, to knock on the door. No, you use this middle finger. See, he's got a bigger knuckle there. Use that and you knock on the wood. Amen? If you can't use your finger, use your head.
And you care, hey, somebody will answer. Might be a fist of five, but somebody will answer. Amen? But I see people who are ungodly with no message, nothing to tell, nothing to promise, nothing to gain, but they still go out and do it when we won't. That is amazing. That's amazing. And they have no fear of it. No fear. I go to McDonald's in Cambodia. I walk into McDonald's. I see 50 young people with Mormon badges on and two American guys sitting there training.
Would I see that in Australia? Come on, I'm waiting. No fear.
That we're afraid. What's happened to us? What's happened to us? We want a smooth Christianity where there's no bumps and ripples. We want preachers in our churches who don't tell it like it is. We want polished people. That's what we want. We don't want to be disturbed out of our sleep and slumber. But this lady couldn't shut up. She testified. So when verse 40, the Samaritans were come in unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Listen to me. Do you know how much it would be worth in money terms if we could measure it? 2 days, 2 full-day conference, a 2-day conference with Jesus. Can you imagine? Huh? We would need 10 years of conferences just to make that up. 2 days. This is with people that everybody was supposed to hate. This is for people who didn't want to hear the message. And yet they begged him. They said, "Beg, we beg you, stay here, teach us, teach us, teach us." I'm working in Burma and they're saying, "Where's all these great missionaries you talk about? Where's the Adonai and Judson's to come here and teach us again? Where are the people who can come here and teach us the Bible? Where are they? Somebody needs to come. 56 million of us are going to hell. Where are they?" I said, "They're all in McDonald's." Recently, I watched the news somewhere in a motel.
And the guy was in Afghanistan in an area where they were shooting real bullets, not rubber ones, real ones. And he was sitting behind a wall like this, a reporter, and I could see one bullet went straight through the brick wall. 50 caliber, straight through, near his head. And he was talking to this American young soldier next to him, who had a massive big piece of meat out of his leg shot out. And he was talking to him. This is all lie. He said, is there anything you want to say, soldier? This poor American soldier said, we're out here getting our heads blown off, and America's at the mall. Think about that for a while. And if it had been an Australian soldier, he would have said, oh, he's at McDonald's. Hello? You may think that the Buddhists don't care for God. Listen, the Buddhists don't even know Buddha because he can't speak. Hello? They're not in love with Buddha. He's just a little fat guy. That's all he was. And Buddha himself, he was a real guy. Buddha said, there's one greater than I who is coming. Don't worship me. Look for him. But they didn't listen. These people want to know the truth. We're assuming they don't want to know. No, they want the truth. They want the peace. They want to go to heaven. They want to know that this is going to happen, that this is possible. But we sit and we listen and we soak and we sleep and we watch, but we don't do anything. And then suddenly life is finished. It's over. And you think to yourself, oh, what did I do? I can't even write it down on a quarter piece of paper. What did I do? What could I have done? And I'm sick of hearing, I'm not qualified. I'm really tired of hearing that. I'm not qualified. Listen, if you can use a smartphone, you're qualified. Got it? Got it? Yes or no? Who hasn't got it yet? Got it? You're qualified. You come and you teach. We don't so much need more missionaries, we need more teachers right now. We need teachers. The Bible says, go into all the world and teach. We need to teach them how and what to do. End of story. We don't have to go further than that. End of story. They will then pick it up and run here and there and get the job done because we can't do that anymore. We have to teach them to do it, not us. We are just told to teach. Let's get this right this morning and then I quit. So many guys are going out trying to start one little church. With their badge, their little whatever they believe, blah, blah, blah. It takes us 10 years to train them. It takes another 5 years to find the money. That's 15 years gone. Amen? We can train a national in 2 or 3 years. To get out, get it done, speaks the language already, knows the food, knows the culture. He knows how to go. He can live on peanuts. Listen to me. Let's get it right. My job is to get out there and teach them how to do it. Not how to be independent this or independent that and our mission board and blah, blah. Nothing like that. That's not in the Bible. Teach them. Then they will go out. And that's what Jesus is trying to do here. To conquer the world. He said, go out and teach. Let's pray. Our Father, how we thank you this morning.
Our hearts are heavy, dear God, because now we know our time is about up. Our time is short. Father, we need to find the funds, mostly the funds, to help these nationals to go. Give us the courage to admit this, Father. Give us the courage to send people from our churches. Give us the men who can make the money to send them to go. The last thing we want, Father, is to disappoint you when we arrive in heaven. Arriving with an empty basket, with no great accomplishment in life, and all we have to show for life is things we had to leave behind. Precious Father, help us today. We must not get tired and weary. We have to conquer the world. And we pray this morning, you work in the hearts of those, young or old, who can go and train and teach. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.